female member of parliament for Halbert and Forth of Lakes Brock, with new content for you every single Tuesday, 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time, with content like this. We ask that you like, comment, subscribe, share this program. Help us push back against the ever-moving liberal agenda. And of course, if you can, watch or listen to it all right now. You can download it later on in platforms like CastBox, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, you name it. It is out there. Another important guest we're going to have on today, backed by popular demand, although the topic isn't so awesome. Rachel Harder, the Member of Parliament from Lethbridge, Alberta. She's also the Shadow Minister for Digital Government. We are glad to have her back. I know last time we said we'll have her back. Sadly, it's not good why we're having you back. It's Bill C-10, of course, the Act to Amend the Broadcasting Act, which has some problems. The advocates are saying it supports artists and music providers. Other side says this could take us down a deep and dark, dangerous path. Rachel Harder, why don't you basically give us a recap of what Bill C-10 is, how we got here, and where we are now?
Sure thing, Jamie. Thank you again for having me back and giving me the opportunity to bring people up to speed. Here's the deal. Bill C-10 has to do with, quote unquote, modernizing the Broadcasting Act, which of course is an act from, the 1980s. And it had everything to do with controlling the airwaves and making sure that limited access to airwaves was divvied out in some form of equal measure. Now that act is going to be applied to the internet. So basically this is the government applying a big hand in terms of regulation with regard to the internet. In this bill, what has happened is there was originally a clause that protected individuals and the content that they posted. So the things that you post or your uncle posts to YouTube or Facebook or Spotify or TikTok, things like that. And so those things would be posted and they would be protected under the original legislation. However, that clause that offered that protection has since been removed. That happened a number of weeks ago. When that clause was removed, it put people in danger. It put people in danger of a couple of things. One, free speech being infringed upon, because now your content is going to be censored. So some videos that you post are going to be allowed, some are not. In terms of artists who are using platforms like YouTube in order to generate an audience and garner huge success, they're going to be moved up and down in terms of the queue. So what the government has said is that they want to show favoritism or give promotion to those who are, quote, Canadian artists or those who are generating Canadian cultural content. And so the government is somehow through the CRTC going to regulate, you know, what counts and what doesn't, and give preference to that which, quote unquote, counts. The problem with this, of course, is a couple. One, it's really unclear in terms of what exactly counts as Canadian content. I mean, right now, under the current definition, you could have a Canadian filming in Canada, talking about Canada, and promoting themselves to a Canadian audience, and they still wouldn't necessarily make the cut. So that's a huge problem, is this definition. And then the other problem is, you know, you're going to have some artists who are able to make a go of it on their own and who would, you know, skyrocket in terms of their publicity. Now the government all of a sudden is going to say, oh, no, you don't. You don't make the cut. You don't fit the metrics. And so then they get a demotion, you know. And so then you have these artists who actually would be hugely successful, but the government's actually going to hold them back. And that's a huge problem.
In today's day and age, I think artists of all kind have a platform to reach whatever audience basically they want. And we're not just talking domestic, we're talking internationally as well. So if artists have this ability to reach a wide audience with their content, in this case, wouldn't you say the free market would prevail because people will pay or watch what content they like, they will pass on what they don't? Why does the government need to get involved in this?
Yeah, exactly. And it's a great question. And you know what? The truth is, Jamie, the government doesn't need to get involved. And, you know, I've had the opportunity to reach out to successful YouTubers and individuals who are making a tremendous go of it. And they're telling me, we don't want government regulation. We don't want the big hand of government interfering in this. We actually want the government to get out of the way. They've learned how to function within the platforms that are available to them online in order to organically grow an audience and become very successful. So, for example, Jamie, you know, Justin Bieber is one of these individuals. He was a kid posting music to YouTube, you know, and starting in about 2013, he kind of started to garner some publicity and it just kept growing. And, you know, here's a Canadian artist who has shown himself to be noteworthy in terms of the music content that he's able to generate. And as a result, Canadians watch him and then they recommend that other people watch him and then he grows. And now, of course, he's become, you know, a sensation. And we're very proud of him and the success that he's garnered for himself. There are others who are coming up right now. And Jamie, I think it's important to notice that, you know, successful artists over the last decade have come up through platforms. They don't come up through government grant programs. They don't come up, you know, because of handouts. They come up because they've learned to function within the free market. They have learned to function within this thing called the internet. They have learned to use these platforms such as TikTok and YouTube, et cetera, in order to put their skill or their talent out there and then again, elicit an audience. Jamie, it might be of interest to those who are watching. You know, I recently learned that within YouTube, there are 25,000 Canadians who are able to generate a full-time income for themselves of about $100,000 or more. So that's 25,000 Canadians that are potentially going to be impacted in a really negative way by this legislation. Of course, there's far more than that, but that's 25,000 that count on it as a full-time income.
So if this passes, you could have, theoretically, some unelected bureaucrats at the CRTC deciding what content is to be supported and what is to be demoted. But again, this isn't about this. We're not having freedom, the talk about freedom here, because I'll say jazz music and you like, I don't know, hip hop. Everyone's different. To have a bureaucrat to say, no, we're only going to allow country music or allow country music to be promoted, you're not actually getting what you want. You're getting what somebody else wants. And this, I think, is the fundamental principle of this. Everyone is different. Everyone should have the choice and the freedom to make those decisions.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. And so what the government would respond you know, to that with is they would say, well, you know, YouTube and TikTok and Facebook, like they already use algorithms in order to direct content your way. And so now they're just saying these algorithms are going to be government regulated rather than controlled by the individual platforms. That might look like an okay argument up front, but here's the problem. When I go into an art exhibit that is owned by a private curator, I expect them to curate that art according to their desire. So some art is going to be higher on the wall, some lower, some is going to be toward the front of the center, some is going to be in the back. Some rooms are going to be larger and more, you know, prominent, and then other rooms are going to be smaller. And so artists are going to be given different places within this art exhibit. But I expect that as the person who's paying to go into this private art exhibit, I want it to be curated for me and I enjoy it within those parameters. What I don't want is for the government to step in and now tell this curator how they need to hang the art and where they need to hang the art and which artists they need to give priority to. And that is exactly what is happening on the internet is right now, yes, YouTube uses algorithms, TikTok uses algorithms, Facebook uses algorithms. They use them in order to give me more of what I want. They look at the things that I'm viewing and where my interests lie, and they give me more of that. What the government is going to do is they're going to step in, and instead of giving you more of what you want, they're going to give you more of what they want you to see. So you want to look at pictures of, you know, model airplanes from the 1950s. They want you to watch basket weaving. So all of a sudden, your screen starts getting filled with videos on basket weaving. Well, you don't want that. So then, Jamie, what ends up happening is you watch the video for 2 seconds and then you turn it off. Or maybe you give it a bad rating because you're like, dang, I don't want more of that. Like, who's giving me basket weaving? So then by doing that, you're actually hurting those artists. You're hurting those individuals who are trying to promote basket weaving. The reality is, if basket weaving clips went to those who already like basket weaving clips, those artists would continue to naturally move up in the queue. the government, by stepping in, is actually hurting the artists that they're claiming to help. And it's incredibly detrimental.
And I think that can be said for any industry. When the government decides something, it pushes down the competition and picks winners and losers in the marketplace. I'm sure if the government had an ever more footprint in the telecom industry, we'd still be on BlackBerries and not be using the developments that we've seen through iPhone and other such platforms. But that's because the market is adapting to the changing behavior, the wants and needs of the actual consumer. And everyone is different. Personally, I like my BlackBerry. I like the keyboard. But again, as you said, with the artists, this is important because you need artistic freedom, that creation element that allows the artist to put their wares out, their content, and then for the market to decide whether they like it or not. And that would have maximum ability for artists of all kinds to put their work on display. You're right. If the government does it, you will get what the government wants you to see, what the government wants you to have, and that's it. That is not freedom.
And that's exactly it, Jamie. And this is, you know, this is what the artists are saying. When I talk to, you know, creators, when I talk to those individuals who are using these platforms successfully, they're saying to me, Rachel, we want freedom. We want to be left alone. We want to be allowed to function within the realm that we're currently playing in. And we can do it on our own. We don't want the government to intervene. But, you know, Jamie, I think one of the important things to acknowledge here is really what's happened is the government has been lobbied hard by a very small coalition of artists who, you know, I believe in many ways are stuck in the 1980s. They just unfortunately haven't been able to make it in today's modern sphere and using these platforms. Look, their art might be great, but they've got to figure it out. They've got to adapt. They've got to be creative and innovative, and they have to move forward with the times. But for them to lobby the government and ask for the government to apply a big hand and pull some artists back in order to help this little niche group move forward, it's wrong. It's absolutely wrong. And so that is exactly what this government legislation is all about. It's about showing favoritism to a few elite artists who just simply cannot make a go of it today. And so they're asking for the government's support, and the government's giving it to them. And it's very sad because it's to the detriment of thousands, if not tens of thousands of artists who otherwise would be able to make a go of it on their own.
And I think this also relates to the freedom of speech that we have here in Canada. This would actually regulate that as well, because content that the government is not particularly fond of could get demoted in terms of its reach. The content that goes against the government narrative could get demoted. Content that is deemed, you know, against what the government believes could be demoted. And we know what path takes us down. And it's not a very good one when anything that opposes the government is deemed offensive and taken down or demoted in terms of reach.
And that's exactly it. It's really, you know, this is an attack on freedom of speech, because some content will be moved up in the queue. Some content will be demoted. The government is in fact picking winners and losers. And so in doing that, they are censoring. They are censoring not only what you post and whether or not others have access to it, but they are also censoring what you can or cannot see. Again, you know, I would argue that is a direct infringement upon Section 2B of the Charter, which gives us the right to freedom of expression, freedom of belief, freedom of opinion. And so we exercise that right within what I would call the new public square, which of course is online and largely on social media platforms. So by the government intervening, they really are coming against our freedom as Canadians.
All right. We don't have much time left. Where is the bill now? What's going to happen next?
Yeah. So the bill is at committee, and we're doing something called clause by clause, which is where we're going through it line by line and determining what gets to stay and what has to go. And so conservatives are fighting hard to bring forward some amendments that would offer protection for individuals and for their content in order to alleviate some of the concerns I've outlined here today. You know, we're hopeful that we'll be successful, but we need the support of the Bloc and the NDP in order to move our amendments forward. And that can be a challenge for sure, but we're going to continue to fight.
You know the routine. I always give the guests the final word here. So maybe in your final words, say your piece. We have freedom of expression here on this show. But also maybe if you could, maybe fill people in on what they can do to help kind of slow this, stop this, anything they can do.
Yeah, I think the bottom line is this. This legislation does attack the free speech that Canadians enjoy day in and day out within, you know, the public sphere. And it is going to crush the voices of creators, which is detrimental. This is one of the most regressive bills that many creators have ever seen. And so they're very fearful in terms of what this means for them as artists going forward. I would invite Canadians to reach out and to write a letter or an email or make a phone call to Minister Guilbeault, the Heritage Minister, and make their voices heard. Stand up for freedom.
The one and only Rachel Harder, Member of Parliament from Lethbridge, Alberta, also the Shadow Minister for Digital Government. We do appreciate her coming on the show again. I didn't think it'd be so close, but this is a very important topic, but it's always great to have her because her points are so solid. How could you disagree with one and only Rachel Harder? So we appreciate her coming on the show. We'll have her back again. Of course, new content every single Tuesday, 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Like, comment, share, subscribe to this program. Help us push back against the ever-moving liberal agenda. And of course, if you can't watch this program in its entirety right now, download it, listen to it later on, maybe even show it to your friends, have them have a listen on platforms like Castbox, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, you name it, it is out there. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you again next week. Until then, remember, low taxes, less government, more freedom. That is the blueprint.